This week, we go behind the scenes of brand new horror anthology film, Nightmare Cinema, with one of the film's stars, Sarah Withers, who is in the studio with us tonight. Also, we have all the week's horror news, conventions, and the showdown between Woody, Chucky, and Annabelle. It's the Battle of the Toys this week on The Scare Guy Show.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
Yes. Welcome to The Scare Guy Show. We are so excited to have you here this week. We're for the first day of summer was just this last week, the longest day of the year. And I tell you what, it doesn't feel like we should be into all the scary news, but we are because there's so much going on. My name is Jim. I am the managing editor here at The Scare Guy. You can find me at Jim Fry LA on Twitter or James D. Fry on Instagram. Who else do we have with us today?
Hi, I'm Katie, or as I'm known now, I guess the resident final girl.
Final girl, that's right.
Name here. So, yeah, and then I'm just here, you know, ready to talk about the upcoming fall season.
That's right. And speaking of final girls, we have a real life final girl with us in the studio today. Who do we have?
Hey guys, I'm Sarah Withers.
Everybody's cheering for you.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm Jake. I'm a filmmaker and film fan here in sunny LA.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm Cheeseman on the couch here.
Can you say that again?
Cheeseman on the couch. Oh, I'm back. I am unmuted and sitting here on the couch. Cheeseman on the couch with thescareguy.com.
We always have to mute Luke. We never know what he's going to say. speaking of final girls, Sarah, thank you so much for being with us on the show today. We were very excited. Me and Cheeseman just got done watching the movie that you're in, Nightmare Cinema. What a great over-the-top, schlocky, gory, funny, ridiculously over-the-top film, which makes me love 80s monster movies all that much more. But anyways, I just wanted to say thank you for coming. So your journey as an actress, how's that been going?
Well, it's been going very well. I started out very different from Nightmare Cinema. I was watching Lizzie McGuire, of course, when I was 8. And so I thought, if Hilary Duff can do it, maybe I can too. So
this is what dreams are made of.
Oh, we got a fan over here.
Oh, was she in the movie?
No, that's a quote.
That's probably a quote or a song.
It's a song lyric.
It's the song. Yeah. Continue.
Tell us more, Chief.
From the Lizzie McGuire movie.
Yeah. So she goes to Rome. She has an identical double who's in a singing pop group, and the guy wants her. It's complicated. Continue.
We know somebody's celebrity crush.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Right.
Ooh, yeah. So I'm from the Bay Area. So
nice.
From Sonoma County, and so my mom and dad are wonderful people, and they drove me an hour to go take classes at ACT in San Francisco. So I did that for a number of years, and then I was able to go to a performing arts high school in Santa Rosa High School. And from there, I went to USC and did their BFA acting program. And so, yeah, and then while I was in school, I really wanted to be working professionally by the time I was out. And so, lo and behold, Nightmare Cinema came along. So we actually shot that about 2 years ago. So,
oh yeah,
I was still a student at the time, mm-hmm. It was great.
And it's got a lot of big names associated with this film. And for those who don't know, Nightmare Cinema is an anthology film. It's five sections. It's five different pieces strung together by a pretty creepy story. Who is the guy that's at the center of that story?
Mickey Rourke.
Mickey Rourke.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we do have we have a picture for those of you who are watching on YouTube right now. This is Sarah as she, by the way, we will not be giving away super spoilers of the film since it just debuted and it will be coming out soon on, can we say on Shudder soon?
Yeah, and then also on iTunes, Amazon.
We just watched it on Amazon, and it's having a national debut in a bunch of theaters as well.
Yes, it is. I went and saw it at the Hayworth Thursday night. There was a cast and crew screening, and my dad flew down, and we went together, which was really fun. And then
it's a good dad.
Yeah, my brother had a baby the other day, so my mom was on grandma duty. She went and saw it in San Francisco with my friends and stuff.
Your grandmother saw the film?
My mom and my grandmother. Yeah, my grandma's 89. And
what does she think? You gotta know.
She told me I looked a lot better when we were FaceTiming afterwards. I cleaned up a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. Here, and there's a picture on the screen right now of you in deep anguish.
That scream It hurt. Like, we did a few takes of Eric Nelson. He played the welder, and so we shot on him, and I did the screen even when we were shooting him, and then we came back to me, and I was like, oh, I gotta give it all I got. This is my moment. So
that is anguish. That is anguish. It's such a great image. That's the image that we have on Instagram right now, just because it's so great.
Thank
Lots
you.
Of blood.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Also, and we're gonna jump in to the next part of the show, but first, I also hear that you are obsessed with houseplants.
Oh, yeah. I believe the term is botanophile. It just came from the fact that I'm not responsible enough yet to take care of a live animal. And so this was the next best thing. So, but I take great care of them. They grow very quickly. I kill very few. So I'm up to 30, maybe 35. And well, they
right
keep
now
multiplying.
In your house?
Yeah. So if they're doing well, you can, you know, repot them and then they grow new ones. So.
Cheeseman has a new love of houseplants as well.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
I have two outdoor ones now. It's some sort of palm.
He's got a pygmy palm.
Pygmy palm, and the other one's the
white bird of paradise.
Yeah.
And so
I'm very new to this, obviously.
I was going to say a great sequel to Nightmare Cinema would be a segment called The Botanophile.
Just remember the name of plants.
And it's almost like Gremlins with houseplants.
Well, I was just going to say like Little Shop.
They did it already. Yeah. You're right, Katie.
They're in the sun.
You need like that kind of plant in your house. Yeah. Right. Good.
Yeah. Well, we are so glad that you are here with us tonight, and we're so excited to talk about Nightmare Cinema during the second half of the show. But Katie, first, we have some events that are coming up. What are they?
Yeah, so coming up June 28th through 30th, so this weekend, is Mad Monster Party in Arizona. That's a fun name. Scottsdale, Arizona. It's going to have Elvira, Robert Patrick, Kane Hodder, Adrian Barbeau, Tom Atkins, Doug Jones, Matthew Lillard, and the kid from The Shining. Well, you don't have his name.
You know why? I didn't think anybody would recognize his name.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay, July 5th.
Do you know his name, Jake?
No.
See? He teaches college like mathematics now. He tries to disassociate himself with the kind.
Oh, understandable.
From The Shining.
Okay.
So I call him the kid from The Shining.
All right. And then July 5th or 7th, so right after July 4th, is Days of the Dead in Indianapolis, Indiana. And that travels around. That moves around all the time. August 2nd through 4th is Flashback Weekend in Chicago Horror Con, which has Sam Raimi.
Sam
Raimi, Robert Englund, Bruce Campbell, and more. That's
the two of them in a room would be priceless.
Yeah,
too.
Like,
oh, my gosh, yeah.
Raimi and Campbell would be amazing.
Yeah. And then August 3rd through 4th here in Southern California is Midsummer Scream in Long Beach. And August 30th through September 1st is Creature Feature Weekend in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania.
There's so also this coming weekend,
the Stranger Things pop up.
The Stranger Things Carnival on the Santa Monica Pier in Los Angeles, June 29th and 30th. It's absolutely free. So expect it to be absolutely
10
packed.
10 to 7, I believe. Mm-hmm. So you just show up. Yeah.
What's that?
I recommend public transit because it's going to be crazy to park in Santa Monica. But yeah, it's 10 to 7. It's free. They're going to have all sorts of 80s themed stuff and an ice cream shop that's themed after this current season. So it seems pretty fun. I'm going to try to stop by.
We will talk about 80s theming in just a second because of the next stuff you're about to tell us about.
So we have some Horror Nights updates for all of you Universal Horror Nights fans in Orlando.
As we all are here in this room.
Yeah. So starting with Orlando, select nights September 6th through November 2nd this year. And the 80s return with a vengeance.
The 80s are returning with a vengeance, and there's a reason why that's happening right now.
10 haunted houses, 5 scare zones, and live entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
They have Stranger Things season 2 and 3.
Which is cool. Season 3 is going to be in the haunted houses right after it comes out in next week.
So you got to watch them all pretty fast to be caught up in the maze.
Who's not going to?
Yeah.
Universal Monsters, which was in Hollywood last year. And then Depths of Fear, a flooded mining operation with monsters. That sounds pretty terrifying. And Nightingale's Blood Pit, grisly creatures in an ancient Roman arena. And then today, they announced
Yeti, Terror of the Yukon.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeti, Terror of the Yukon was announced just today. We have an article on thescareguy.com if you want to check out all the information about it, too. It looks great.
I still want to do a Jaws one somehow.
They're doing
they
this
could
like
figure it out.
They're flooding this mining town, so I'm sure they could do a Jaws.
Yeah, why not?
I watched the movie coming up.
You're ready for a Jaws theme something, right?
What is the movie that's coming out this summer? Crawlers?
Crawl Space.
47 meters down. Yeah.
Have you seen
sequel?
Yeah, but like Crawl Space is about a hurricane hitting like a Florida town and this girl getting stuck underneath her house when it floods with all the alligators and snakes and things.
Yeah, it's called Crawl, not Crawl Space.
Oh, Crawl.
Crawl, yes.
It looks terrifying.
Also, when did Hollywood announce their beginning dates? Was that recent too?
I saw that today.
Okay, so they did announce that. I did not know that. Okay, so they also announced for Hollywood it is starting on Friday the 13th this year.
September
13th,
yeah.
It's a little bit earlier than normal. And then also Stranger Things season 2 and 3. They also announced prior to this a Holidays in Hell maze, which last year was a scare zone for anybody who went. So they're doing a maze of it this year. And then they're also bringing back Universal Monsters Frankenstein and Wolfman.
That's kind of cool. So, like it's a little variation on just
it's a little, yeah.
The monster maze. And did you guys ever see the Frankenstein versus Wolfman movie? It was
the Lon Chaney Jr. one from way back in the days?
Or? The one from the 70s. The weird 70s art house movie. Remember?
Do tell.
The guy who was... We did a show just a few weeks back about the horror director who was mysteriously killed and hidden up underneath the hot tub. Remember that?
I do not remember this, but okay.
Anyways, he directed a movie.
It was a good show. Check it out.
It was a great show. You guys should go back a couple weeks and watch. It was our most recent Scare Guy show, I think. We had a really good guest on that week, Bethany Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And so she does a true crime horror podcast, and she brought a true crime on that week about a B-movie horror director from the like 40s through the 70s and how he was out in Palm Springs, ended up missing, and his home repair man was indicted.
Found him.
And killed him. and took apart the hot tub and buried him under there and then built the hot tub back up. Oh, No. He didn't build a backup, which he should have done.
What a crummy home repairman.
I know. Anyways.
Because he didn't build the hot tub up. That's why. That's
there's also so one more super cool event that we missed. It happened this weekend. What could it be, KT?
I don't know.
Didn't you have a birthday?
Oh, yeah. What are you talking about?
Okay, Happy big birthday to Katie from this past weekend. All right. Margaritas are on loop because of that. All right. So we do have a little bit of horror news this week, which is kind of cool. And me and Jake are going to kind of tag team this. But Jake, if you can take it from the top.
Yeah, right. So here's 3 minutes of the week news. Blumhouse's sequel to 2018's Halloween is set to go into production this September for an October release of next year. That would make it, I guess, technically Halloween 13 or 14, but in this instance, it would be Halloween 3 when they rebooted the series.
Two.
This is the new sequel. But this is the sequel.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Yep. So who knows what number it is. apparently, Jamie Lee Curtis, Judy Greer, and Andy Matichak have all been approached about returning alongside writer-director David Gordon Green. John Carpenter has also stated he would be interested in returning to score the sequel if the timing was right. I would love it for that music the theme, do, but if it was a anyway, last we heard, Scott Teams was on board to write the film. He previously adapted a pair of Stephen King novels for Blumhouse, Firestarter and The Breathing Method, the latter of which is expected to be directed by Scott Derrickson, director of Exorcism of Emily Rose, Sinister, and Doctor Strange.
Mm-hmm.
Next, James Marsden is circling the role of Stu Redman in The Stand, the CBS Studio CBS All Access limited series adaptation of Stephen King's classic horror novel, based on the post-apocalyptic horror novel by King that outlined the total breakdown of society after the accidental release of a strain of flu that had been modified for biological warfare and causes an apocalyptic pandemic which kills off the majority of the world's human population. The role of Stu was previously played by Gary Sinise in the 1994 miniseries. James Marsden playing the role means he won't get the girl in the end.
Did you guys see the original miniseries in the 90s? Of course he'll get the girl. Look at that. That's the best looking actor
you'd
in Hollywood.
You don't think. But he's 3 for 3.
That's why I'm laughing, because I know you're right.
Three strikes, this poor guy.
Oh, my gosh. You know what's cool is like this next bit of news was something I had never heard of before. The Halloween Comic Fest. It's just like Free Comic Book Day, but it happens the weekend. It happens October 26th. The weekend right before Halloween. Halloween Comic Fest is an annual comic store promotional event that offers, I was running out of breath, that offers free comics from participating stores, ideal for trick-or-treaters and some older readers as well. These comic books are kind of along the spooky side of things, but they're not just horror comics. It's like older comics, they have horror, like subject lines, the storylines with ghosts and creepy stuff, like Archie comics with some cool thing happening. I think it's a cool idea. I had never heard about it. For more information, go to our website, thescareguy.com or halloweencomicfest.com. And this next, why am I so out of breath today? And this next bit of information was kind of cool. One of my favorite all-time horror movies from the 70s was the original Amityville Horror. Love it or hate it, true or false, it was a captivating story. Jay Anson wrote the novel. The whole country was captivated by this book. Everyone in my family read that book, and everyone was afraid to sit in a house alone. Anyways, the Wonder Film Media Corporation has announced that Amityville 1974 has been given the green light to begin photography in November. It's the story of the real-life rampage murders that would become the background story for author Jay Anson's 1977 bestseller, The Amityville Horror, and the numerous films that have invoked it in the name or the premise. The focus of this film shifts back to the traumatic murders that reputedly set the supernatural stage for the nation's most notorious haunted house legend. In 1974, Ronald Defoe Jr. shot all six members of his family in a killing spree. It's pretty crazy, isn't it? And even more horrific is that a year later, the Lutz family moved in, bought the property, and only stayed there for 28 days before fleeing without any of their furniture or belongings. And then made a bunch of money off of the book.
And then bought more.
Anyways, I'm super excited about that. I love the Amityville story. I love the original movie. I wasn't a big fan of the remake that they did. Like, was it like
Ryan Reynolds?
Ryan Reynolds. Because it was too like, after The Grudge came out, every movie had to have a creepy little black and white girl who like just moved real creepy and had long creepy hair. So this movie had another one of those little girls, and I was like, that's not in the book.
Everybody always tells me I need to cosplay the girl from the
You would do greater than just crawl out of a television?
I think I'd scare myself doing that.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah. If you crawled out of anyone's computer screen who's watching this right now, I would be totally impressed.
That is like one of the
7 days.
Oh, that's one of the best. I've seen a cosplay of somebody like crawls out of a TV screen before. It was great. It was creepy as heck. Anyways, I'm excited about that film. About a couple of years ago, I actually was at one of the private movie houses here in town in Los Angeles, and the son who grew up in that house, he's one of the Lutz children. It was called My Own Private Nightmare, My Own Private Amityville Nightmare, something like that. He retold the story from his perspective, and he says, yeah, there was crazy stuff happening in the house, but he blamed his dad's participation in weird events and cults and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it's a multi-layered story.
Yeah.
Keeps making money. And of course, you know, Lorraine Warren has passed away. She was the one who investigated the house with her husband. That was a really sad thing. Speaking of the Warrens have a special relic in their home museum.
Nice segue.
Isn't that great? They have a great relic in their home museum. It's called Annabelle the Doll. Reportedly, this doll has attacked people, caused hauntings,
and grossed millions of dollars worldwide.
And it comes out next weekend to do battle with two other dolls or toys that came out this past weekend. Yes, Chucky. Correct.
And Toy Story.
And Toy Story. We are calling it the Battle of the Toys. So who in this room has seen Chucky, the most recent Child's Play?
I saw Child's Play.
And by the way, we introduced ourselves, but we forgot to introduce our producer extraordinaire, Ryan, in the booth.
What's going on, you guys? Loving the show so far.
So, Ryan, you saw Toy Story,
yes,
and saw Chucky?
I saw both. I teared up in one of them.
Chucky.
Hopefully it's Chucky.
Did you watch them back to back? Because that's what I did.
Ooh, I kind of wish I did that. No, I saw one on Friday night, and then I saw one early Saturday morning. I saw Toy Story Friday night, right. Child's Play early in the morning. And it was a packed theater.
You watched them the opposite way around. So I watched Child's Play and then Toy Story. Because I figured Child's Play would be scarier than Toy Story, which it was only a little bit scarier. So, but.
Well,
there was some horror in Toy Story 4.
Yes, I know. I'm still traumatized by it.
Aren't it like the ventriloquist dummies dolls kind of crazy creepy?
All ventriloquist dummies
are creepy. Yeah.
But
they're intrinsically creepy.
I have to say, definitely, I would say that's probably the part that's in there for the adults rather than the kids, because I don't think the kids will understand, like, why that's creepy. But yeah, I'm, me and my roommate were both like, no.
Well, speaking of the battle between the toys, Toy Story 4, the fourth installment in the beloved Pixar franchise, brought in $118 million in its domestic box office, which was amazing, while Child's Play only took in $14 million. But nobody really expected like that was going to be really a battle of the Titans.
It has a B movie heritage, so yeah, it's the right ballpark.
But it did still come in a little bit lower than expectations. They were expecting it to come in around $16 million. They were expecting Toy Story to come in closer to $140 million.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which
it could be the time it came out too.
Yeah, I don't know, but still, Toy Story 4, $118 million. Is that anything to sneeze at? No, that is not.
To be quite honest, it's kind of easy to lose track of because of Aladdin and then Lion King and all these other things that Disney is doing.
Yes.
Right?
It's just like, it's a lot.
Avengers.
I was just talking about the animated stuff that's coming out.
Avengers.
Yeah.
Which is about to break Avatar's record. Go!
Yeah.
Did you hear the news about Avengers real quick?
They're releasing with the new scenes at the end of the credits.
Yeah. New scenes.
I did see that.
New end credits. Yeah.
And a special tribute, too.
Yep, a special tribute. Oh. So, anyways, what do we think about Child's Play battling? Why are all these toy movies hitting right at this certain time? Anybody have a guess?
Well, I mean, I think, for one, Child's Play was like, what day should we? Oh, let's compete with Toy Story. I think that was genius. I just have to say, though, that was genius.
Yes.
And the lead character's name in Child's Play is also genius.
What is it?
It's Andy.
Yeah. Oh, Andy versus Andy.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I didn't even think about
that.
Because Andy is the grown-up boy from Toy Story.
Plaza,
did he write
mom.
His name
they
on
never
the bottom
say her
of
name.
His shoe?
Hmm. Huh?
Did he write his name on the bottom of the shoe, though?
I think they might have gotten in trouble for that if they had done that.
The thing is,
so Aubrey Plaza's character is just referred to as Andy's mom.
I'm fairly certain they just call her Andy's mom.
Even in the credits.
I don't know. I did not see the credits scenes what it said her name was, but yeah. But and at one point they say Andy's mom, and I was like, oh, wow, okay. That's when I realized, like, okay, Toy Story.
Well, here's a little bit of interesting thing. So Dan Mancini, he's the guy who shepherded the Child's Play Chucky franchise for the past 30 years. He's developing a new show on Sci-Fi, the Child's Play series. 30 years. That's critical. 30 years. 30 years ago, what decade were we in?
The 80s.
So the directors of Halloween Horror Nights came out this week and said they conducted a study. They petitioned a study to find out what everybody wanted. And they found out that the 80s is the big thing that everybody is craving right now. And why is that? Because 30 years ago, the people who grew up in the 80s, they are now creating the content, which is going out. That's why we are having the splash of 80s everywhere. It's 80s at Halloween Horror Nights. All these 80s throwback movies. For example, Chucky is a throwback to an 80s film. And it's also a throwback to, from what I was reading, is also a lot of horror movies got remade in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. And it kind of falls in line with a lot of those. Like, we had them written down here. But like My Bloody Valentine, House of Wax, Black Christmas, Rob Zombie's Halloween, hated it. I'm sorry, I can't keep my voice quiet on that one. So it's kind of, by the way, Ryan, is this image up right now on the...
I just put it up as you mentioned.
This is the battle, Woody versus Chucky. And what's interesting is that Chucky is voiced by none other than Mark Hamill himself.
He did great.
Did you like it?
Yeah.
Katie, what did you think of the movie overall?
I mean, I have not seen the original, but I did think they did a very good job at translating a story that is such an old story that people know into the 21st century. And in something that I think is even more terrifying than like a demon, which is saying something, but I don't know how much was seen in the trailer that I don't want to give something away. But
yeah, this is kind of non-spoilery.
Well, yeah, they basically reinvent why Chucky.
Oh, it's AI. That's
AI. And I think AI is terrifying. Mm-hmm. But I also thought it was a very smart way to bring in like this, you know, classic with modern, kind of like in the same way Jumanji did. Like, they had a good way to translate it into 2019. And I thought it was gruesome. It was terrifying. You know, some of the ways that they altered what they did because of the fact that the franchise is split up and owned by different people, they found ways to, like, get around the things. And I thought that was interesting. Found that out later. But, yeah, I very much enjoyed it. I mean, I was about to cry because I hate dolls, like, so much. But it was
boy, this is a rough couple of weeks for you.
Yeah.
Ryan, what did you think of Child's Play?
You know, I liked it. I think it was a great throwback to 80s films, especially with the way they showed the gore. It was very, like, the color, the texture of the blood was just so vivid and thick that you could tell it, like, it was definitely a style choice. So I really admired that. I really also admired that they really went for a new take on the movie, because you see a lot of these 80s remakes nowadays and, you know, it's just a straight up remake. But this one really, it made some decisions. It owned them. And I really like seeing that. If you're going to remake it, do something new. And they definitely did something new.
Yeah. Very cool.
When I heard they were doing the AI slant on the doll, though, I was thinking of the 1995 movie Small Soldiers.
Oh, yeah.
Where there's a satellite chip placed in a series of dolls that then turn against the kids. Has anyone else seen this movie, Sarah?
No, I haven't seen it.
I have seen this movie.
Okay,
this is a good movie.
Tommy Lee Jones as the main, as the main doll. And Kirsten Dunst is in it. She's the main kid. But, yeah.
No, when was it made? The 90s?
Mid-90s,
makes sense why Kirsten Dunst was in it then.
Yeah. It was smack dab in her Jumanji period. Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yep.
So right after Interview with the Vampire.
Isn't that when she stopped acting back then? Anyways.
I thought of Avengers 2.
Avengers 2.
Ultron,
yeah.
There are small soldiers, yes. That photo right there.
I remember that.
That was a quick grab.
I remember that in VHS, back of the boxes in the video stores. Also, there's this movie from the 90s called Maximum Overdrive,
Stephen King.
He wrote the screenplay,
yeah.
It was about semi-trucks started killing people.
Appliances start killing people. Soda machines throw cans at people out of the thing.
It was like an early AI type experience. It was kind of cool.
Kind
of cool. It was Emilio Estevez. He was the protagonist. Remember that? Oh my. Anyways,
the main reason I want to see Charles play, I just like you were saying, the Mark Hamill thing. So he did a good wide range of, was there like humor, but also creepiness and that sinister laugh, like a Joker kind of laugh? Or
I thought it was a very good performance by him. I was like, I need to watch something that I like him in now, because I was kind of creeped out.
To clean your palate.
I thought it was a really good performance by him. At first, there's times where I was like, wait, oh yeah, this is Mark Hamill. Like, there's a couple moments where you're like, oh yeah. And then my roommate didn't know. And then I told her, she's like, okay, I hear it now. After hearing like Joker, if you've heard him as Joker, you know, you can kind of see, understand like kind
of. He's sinister.
He's a little bit of parallel with that.
So yeah. I think it would, if definitely people who are used to hearing him as Joker, you'll see some of the similarities in it for sure.
Fantastic. He's, if you ever get a chance, he does interviews where he mimics Harrison Ford as well too. And he sounds exactly like him. He's one of the most talented voice actors working ever in all of history.
And tonight, he is reading the Mueller Report live in a staged reading with John Lithgow. Riveting stuff there. All right. So real quick, while we're going to jump out of the Battle of the Toys, but Annabelle, how do we think that Chucky's going to stack up against Annabelle? By the way, we never thought that Chucky was going to beat Woody. It's never going to happen. But how will it stack up against Annabelle?
I mean, the Conjuring universe is pretty solid at with their fan base. I think they're going to do okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Going to clean up.
Yeah. Like people, I don't touch it, but that's a very popular universe. That's just kind of become this huge, thing.
You, go ahead.
Which ones have you seen?
I haven't seen any of them. I will not watch them.
They're very good.
Yeah.
Both Conjuring movies are very good, but not only just over the top kind of horror stuff, but also like the low key stuff that really kind of like it lets like simmer into like the crescendo of, oh, this is really creepy and good. But I've seen the Conjuring movies, the first Annabelle. I haven't seen Creation or The Nun yet, but.
Oh my gosh.
I think they're quite well made.
Oh, here's Annabelle. Speaking of which, the Conjuring universe.
Yeah, I haven't been looking at the screen for like 30
seconds.
Oh my
gosh, so. Ryan is keeping us up to date. But the thing about
the only thing that would make her worse is that there's a ventriloquist sitting behind her doing an act.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that would make that worse.
With the dummy's arms. Yeah. But speaking of Annabelle, it was cool that we got to see the actual doll from the film last year. Over at Warner Brothers, they had a cool, you know, you told us about the cool Halloween event that they had on the lot over there. Yeah.
Walk through the maze and they had some of the actual stuff there, including the Annabelle dolls.
Oh, and then they had
that little trick how it like disappears all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Oh, the Pepper's Ghost experience. Like and then they had the nun experience where the nun shadow walks across the wall. We're like, what's going on? Then her fingers come up from behind the picture and she comes at you.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Chases you out.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Well, there's something else scary in the room. Nightmare Cinema. Five strangers watch their deepest and darkest fears play out before them in an abandoned theater as the projectionist preys upon their souls with this collection of disturbing films. Things get off to a fast start, according to industry publication Variety, as Samantha, played by Sarah Weathers, is weepily walking off an apparent breakup when she spies a theater marquee emblazoned with her name as the star of The Thing in the Woods. Mystified, she walks into the open, empty, seemingly automated movie palace. And what happens next, Sarah?
And then I get thrown down into the seat and by a mysterious force. And then I sort of glaze over and see my worst fears play out on screen.
And they're pretty bad. Me and Cheeseman just got done watching this segment. And I got to say, it is 80s-tastic. It is a throwback to Final Girls and schlocky over the top. The Welder as the serial killer coming at you. And it was great. I just thought, had so much fun watching it. I was watching it while I ate and I was like, I can't finish this meal, but still. What'd you think?
Yeah, I thought it was a lot of fun and like love the different stories within it, and started out great with yours. You got to be there right in the beginning. The cinematography was cool. The types of shots, even like the aerial shots where they're like following people and the special effects where things may open up and other things and just little crittery things crawling around.
And we're going to talk about
it. There's a whole mix of different types of horror and fun and even kind of funny lines kind of within it and everything. And what did they use for blood in this one for you? They covered you in blood on
you were covered parts. With something.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was actually really tricky for the makeup artist because every day she had to replicate the same droplets of blood. So she was very sweet lady. I think she did makeup for Chronicles of Narnia.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And so she...
Very similar.
Very similar.
Both crawling in the closets and other doorways.
No. Yes. Yeah. So she like took a picture of my face after the first day and then would just try to like, you know, splatter it on in the same way.
Oh, that's got to be so taxing for
you. It really was taxing. It was like, okay, this streak was a lot bigger than that. And so, but the only unpleasant part was that they just smeared glycerin on my shirt so that it looked fresh. So my shirt was sticky and wet every day. So I was always peeling it off my skin.
So did they have like multiple versions of the costumes and they would just get a new one each day, or did they just like use the same one?
Oh no. So it was just like the same. We had bloody shirt and shorts and then clean shirt and shorts.
Yes, of course. Okay.
Yeah. So it would have been in the trailer all night and get there and it was cold and wet in the morning and
Yeah.
I don't think it's giving too much away to say there was a certain scene where a very bloody disemboweled body is something you had to lay on. Put your hands into the intestines.
And they show a picture of that on the... I mean, I don't think we have it on here, but...
Oh, it's part of the publicity pictures that's out.
Yeah.
What was that like?
It was super cool to see. So K&B did all of the dead bodies and all the crazy stuff that you see in it. And so they had very detailed intestines and organs, so... It was an anatomy class. There was, more glycerin on that thing, just so I could,
slide over it.
Now,
what's cool about this movie is that it is directed by five different directors. I have their names here. Mick Garris, he is the brainchild that put the film together. He used to have a series called Masters of Horror.
Yes.
Was it on Showtime?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I think it's like for like 2 or 3 years. And so this is like kind of a cool big screen version of Masters of Horror where he has these horror directors come in. So there was Mick Garris, and then your director was Alejandro
Brujé.
I think we got that right. And then the legendary Joe Dante of Gremlins fame, David Slade, and I'm not going to get this last one. I apologize. Rahuhe? Can you read this one?
It's probably... first name I'm not going to be able to pronounce right now, but Kitamura would be the last name.
All right.
Right.
I'm so sorry. We slayed that one. Get it? But anyways, it's a cool idea, and there is what is the central story for what pulls all these stories together?
So essentially, the protagonists of each film are wandering along in the night, see their name on the marquee of this mysterious old theater, and are transfixed, and a ticket pops up, and they're like, oh, and they go inside, and yeah. So something possesses them to go by themselves into this scary place. So,
and it's being run by the projectionist.
Yes, correct. Yeah, Mickey Rourke plays the projectionist, and he has sinister intentions and killer abs.
I was about to say, like we were asking you about Mickey Rourke, and
that's
like
a poster line right there.
It is really good, yeah. Sinister intentions, killer abs. Didn't he provide his own costume?
He did indeed. Yeah. I wasn't on set with him at the same time, which was a bummer. He was on set the day after me to film that wraparound shoot. But that was the story I heard, that he insisted on bringing his own costume.
Which is no shirt. He's been working out.
A leather vest, baby. Yeah.
How old is that guy? He looks like his abs look like the abs of a 25-year-old. But that's Mickey Rourke for you.
I mean, you guys saying sinister, it's not really hard for me to picture him in a sinister role, you know.
Rourke, like he brings something else to a role. I tell you what, he just has a something about him, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He used to be a boxer.
No, yeah, he really was. So who else was in your
66? He'll be 67 this year.
Get out of town.
Yeah. Wow, with he's abs. Killing it.
Those had to be prop ads. Abs. Those weren't hit.
Those were killer abs. Abs.
But like, so in your story, and we don't want to give it away, but it did have a couple of cool twists in it and things. But it was kind of like an ode to like what 80s horror movies, right?
Yeah.
Because we were talking before the show. The very first image is very bucolic and beautiful, and it sounds like the closing music from the original Friday the 13th, which is like brilliant. And then and it's cool because it doesn't really start in a slow part. It starts right in the middle. You're running out covered with blood and running, and all your friends are dead. It's really starting in the middle of it. I really love the way they did that.
Alejandro talked about how he was used to writing feature length films, and so he, you know, was asked to be a part of this, to do the short. So he thought, you know, why not just start in like the last third of a slasher film?
I love that.
Because we all know kind of what happens before. So just it's off to the races, running away from the welder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did anyone of you see Dawn of the Dead?
I have not seen
that. That was his. He directed that.
Yeah, it's kind of the same. It's without the sort of 80s throwback. It's like Alejandro's humor is very consistent. He's hilarious. And so you can see it's definitely the same kind of. He just has that effortless goofiness.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's good.
Now, did you ever. I haven't finished the film. It's on pause right now at home on Amazon Prime. By the way, why don't you tell us where we can see the film?
Right. So you can see it on iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, Vudu, Shudder. So many different platforms.
And select theaters around the country as well.
Of course. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see the end, but did you interact with any of the other stories? Or is that a spoiler or not?
No. So there is a shot at the end where me and all the other unlucky travelers are in the theater, and mm-hmm. we're all sort of
in the theater.
I guess.
Oh, you're giving
it away. Well, I mean, I don't know. It's ambiguous. So, you
only
know.
Sort of.
I mean, we're sort of dead. I don't know. I mean, we're not slain. We're just like.
Yeah. You're in the theater.
I think we're
theater.
Emotionally dead.
No. Yeah.
I mean.
Well, the projectionist, he's trying to get you in there. And there's reasons, you know? Because mm-hmm. I think even in the marketing material, they talk about how he is collecting hundreds of years of sorrow and terror and nightmares, and it's really kind of cool.
Yeah.
And it's filmed in the old Rialto Theater. Which part of that's
Pasadena?
Pasadena, yeah. That's
it's
a great
beautiful.
Spot.
Was
it's
it open
perfect.
When you guys filmed there? Because I knew it was closed for a couple of years. Or was it operating?
No, it wasn't open, but the lights were gorgeous. It didn't look super dilapidated, but.
No, I asked because that's the same theater where Gosling and Stone go to watch Rebel Without a Cause in La La Land, the Rialto.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so now when I watch that movie, I'm kind of thinking Mickey Rourke's up in the projection booth ruining the movie for them, so they go off and have a romantic night. Like, that was like, you guys get off.
Yeah.
You, Sarah, they go, oh, no, you're going in the woods, but they get off.
The thing that's funny about watching this part of the movie, though, there were definitely parts of your section when your character makes some decisions and we're sitting there like, what the hell are you doing? Why are you doing, you know, those typical 80s horror movies when everybody's yelling at the screen, don't go in the basement. What are you doing going in the basement?
Yeah.
Especially when there's all this stuff happening upstairs, but it was, you know, it was good.
Yeah. Probably half my screen time was screaming. And so after the shoot, I was spent for a couple of days. I was not talking, drinking some tea. So yeah, I gave it my all from the depths of hell.
Now, did you say how many days filming that one
particularly
was?
Each short we shot for 5 days and then did a day or two, probably 3 months later for the wraparound shooting, going into the movie theater and all that stuff with Mickey Rourke was a few months later. Mm-hmm. Yeah, at the end.
Not to put you on the spot, but if you were ever to see your greatest fear on the screen, what do you think that might be?
Clowns.
Dead plants. Split really freaked me out. It's not like horror, but like, I don't like realistic stuff. Split isn't super realistic. but in terms of, you know, kidnapping, my mom watches so much Date Night. Like, I'm very cautious and paranoid because my mom was like, don't do anything.
I like those stories, like, she was walking home and then...
Oh, yeah. That stuff's creeps me out the most.
Well, from being from, like, the Bay Area, that was the Zodiac more talked about up there?
Yeah, dad was telling me about that growing up. And I think people were afraid to go trick-or-treating and stuff like that. It's good we live in a world where everyone has instant communication. I mean, that's one of the pros.
I know. But, like, is your movie set in the 80s? Or did it just... Because your costume was very 80s.
Right. I think it just wanted to have little hints, but it wasn't necessarily... I didn't get any clear, you know... direction that it was.
Right.
If
you had, okay, so we are coming to the end of the show. If you had to like give one message to all the listeners and all the viewers out there about Nightmare Cinema, what do you want to tell them?
You'll have more fun watching this than you've ever had in your life. So you got to go see it because nothing will top this.
Nice.
In line with the campiness, I just wanted to give something a little over the top.
It is campy. That's part of the fun. Is there anybody on from the production that you want to call out and say, hey?
I mean, Alejandro, you were awesome. I hope to work with him for a long, long, long time. He had so much energy and charisma and love for what he does. So, and I'm so appreciative for everyone who... from casting to the people who were just so supportive to me on set and afterwards. So thank you so much. And thank you guys so much for having me too. I'm really happy.
Oh, we're so glad you're here. I don't think this is giving anything away. If you are afraid of spiders, you're going to get super, super squeamish during this movie. I'm telling you, so many spiders in that thing. That was crazy. Anyways, guys, thank you so much for coming on tonight, Sarah. Appreciate you coming.
Yeah,
thank you for coming along with us tonight, guys, on the Scare Guy Show as we continue our adventure towards Halloween, which is only a few months away, believe it or not. You can find us at thescareguy.com. You can find us on Twitter at thescareguy. Is that .com or is it just thescareguy? Do you guys remember? Anyways, find
scareguy.com. On Twitter, which
find us on Instagram at thescareguy. You can
On Twitter and Instagram, we're just thescareguy. The website is thescareguy.com.
Okay, cool. Yes. Very cool. Social media people keep me in line here. Anyways, go on, follow us, like us, comment, stalk us, chase us down. We love every bit of it. Who else do we have, and where can people find you guys online?
I am Katie, and you can find me on Twitter at Katie_Christine. I also tweet on both the Scare Guy and Con Guy Twitters and Instagram. And if you happen to be in Huntington Beach, I'll be walking in the parade on the 4th of July. So,
oh, fantastic. What time does it start?
I don't know yet.
Oh, my.
Too early.
Yeah.
For Jim.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Sarah E. Withers.
You can find me on Instagram at Twitter at JT Hummus. Congratulations, Aaron, for winning the Rom-Com Film Festival in downtown Los Angeles.
Fantastic. That's awesome.
That's my wife.
Yes.
Yeah, awesome. Go, Aaron. Congrats, Aaron.
And I'm Cheeseman on the Couch. You can find me on thescareguy.com or on Twitter at Cheese on Couch.
And I think I already told you where you can find me, but make sure you follow us, keep things scary, and have a good fun summer. See you guys later.
Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.